and then apply them to our life. Even though the Bible was written years ago, it's a living word. It's not a dead book, but it's a living word that is true, as true now as the one when it was spoken out of the mouth of God. And pinned down. It's still just as true. And it's just as up to date. In fact, it's so up to date, it gets a little scary when it's so up to date after a couple thousand years, and then it lays everything out. Well, wow, that's the way it is right now. And so we need to heed the Word of God. Now, this is not the message this morning, but if you want to throw up her on the board, Hebrews chapter 2, I want you to listen to this, because this is not just for this morning, but this is for when you read it or when you hear it preached or taught. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Think about that. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them? We better take heed. We better take heed to the Word of God, the things that what the Word of God speaks of. We better take a more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip. All right? Let's pray together, then we'll look at some scripture this morning. Father, we thank you for all that you are. Lord, you are our Father, and we are an heir and a joint heir. We that are saved are your children. There's nobody like you. And someday we will see you as you are. I long for that day. I know it could be today. I know that today you might give the shout from heaven and say, come up hither. And Lord, I'm looking forward to coming to see you face to face. I know that it'll be a joyous time for me. It'll be a joyous time for so many that are saved. There's coming a day when it's not going to be good when you come, and there in years to come. But, oh God, I pray for mercy this morning. Help us to love you and help us to live for you. May you speak to every heart, Lord, as we preach this morning from your blessed word. May we look at the example that's laid out. May we examine ourselves. And Lord, I pray that when we leave this place, we will be changed. Lord, we need a change. It's what we need. And we thank you and praise you for it all. Please cleanse my mind and my heart. Touch me fresh with the Holy Spirit. Give me power to preach. And Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've told you for weeks now, and we tell you again about the preacher who had a crack in his drywall. And he looked at it and said, I need to have that fixed. So he called the painter, and the painter come and looked at it and said, yeah, I can fix that. And he puttied it and repainted it, and it looked great. In just a few weeks, it was cracked again. And he called the painter back, and he said, I'm so sorry. So he sanded it back off, filled the crack in, reputted it, sanded it off, painted it, looked great, looked wonderful, brand new, and everything seemed to be fine until 4 weeks later, the crack reappeared. Preacher was upset, and he said, I'm not calling that guy back no more. So he tried to find the best in town. He found who was supposed to be the best. He come, looked at it, stood there and looked at it, 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 looked at it. And he said, well, can you fix it? And he said, no. Okay. So I thought you was the best. He said, I am. But I can't fix the sheetrock because that's not the problem. The problem is the foundation. Now, I know we've said that, and if you are tired of hearing that, then you are part of the problem. If that had become monotonous to you, then you are part of the problem. You have foundation problems. Okay? Think about that. If coming to church, if it's repeated every day, if coming to church becomes monotonous to you, you have foundation problems. If the truth bothers you, you have foundation problems. If the truth does not change you, you have foundation problems. If the Word of God is not working on you, you have foundation problems. Your home is suffering. If your home is suffering, the church house is suffering. If a church house is suffering, our country's suffering. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that our country is failing. You don't have to be. Sin abounds. And there are many things we could say today, but we're just going to say this, that where sin abounds, and it has been abounding pretty thick, all right, with all the activities in the last little while of the marches and the parades and the protest. Sin abounds, but the Bible says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So I don't care how bad things are, Jesus Christ can still fix the problem. And I don't care what's going on in your personal life, Jesus Christ can still fix that problem. Care what's going on in your home, Jesus Christ can fix that problem. It matters not what's going on in the church house, Jesus Christ can fix the problem. And our country, our beloved country, I love our country. And it's full of faults, full of problems, full of sin. But Jesus Christ can fix it. He's still the answer this morning. He's still the answer. And we need to let the Lord change us. See, the problem, I believe, for us anyway, here in our church, it's not that we don't know the truth. It's we rebel against the truth. All right? Now, I'm not going to say that's like that for all the country, because all the country, or a lot of the country, is ignorant. But I don't think you can go to church here and be ignorant. Not for, unless you just started. I don't believe you can continually sit under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God and be ignorant. I believe if you've got problems, it's because you're rebellious. Purposely rebellious. That's my problem. If I don't do right, it's because I chose I ain't going to do it. Is that plain enough? Everybody understand that? So we're not going to play the ignorance card. We can't do that. Because it's not I didn't know. Yes, we do. In fact, just ask somebody and they'll tell you, yeah, I know. No matter what it is, yeah, I know. I know. You ought to do that, yeah, I know. We ought to be there, yeah, I know. We ought to say that, yeah, I know. So we're not ignorant. Right. We're purposely rebellious.
That's right.
Ain't that sad?
Yes.
Is that not a mark against the Lord for His grace and mercy toward us? That we're purposely rebellious against a perfect, holy God?
Yeah.
Huh? That ought to bring a shame right there. But it don't. Because we're determined to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, where we're going to do it.
That's right.
All right? Think about that. That's us. That's us. Turn to Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We need fathers today that'll be like Joshua. He said everybody else can do what they want to do. Everybody else can do what they want to do. Everybody's free. We live in a free country. Do what you want to do. But it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. No matter what anybody else does, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to serve it for people. We're not going to let people bother us. We're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to go with the gods of the people in whose land we dwell. Everybody hearing me? But we're going to serve the Lord. All right? Think about that. In Psalms 127. Psalms 127. Verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. We can't do nothing by ourselves. We got to have the Lord. We can't serve the Lord by ourselves. We got to have the Lord. We got to have the guidance, the wisdom of the Lord. The Lord is important. It's sad to think of homes that don't have Christ in the home. It's sad to think of children that grow up not knowing Christ, that don't know the right way, that don't know what's in the Bible, that don't know what the Bible says. It's sad to think of husbands and wives that pledge a love one to another and they can't love without Christ. But yet, in their efforts and desire, they want to love one another, but they can't. You can't love. God is love. You can't love without the Lord. You think you might, but that's not what love is. You don't know love until you know the love of God. You think about that. Except the Lord build the house. In Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. See, it ain't that we don't hear. But we started out in Hebrews chapter 2, said we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It says, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I believe this morning that we have foundation problems. I believe we have foundation problems, and until we dig down and fix the foundation problems, we're going to wear ourselves out patching the drywall. We're going to wear ourselves out. Turn to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, we're going to look at a different kind of a home this morning. We looked last week at a changed home. We looked at four different homes the Sunday before. Last Sunday, we looked at a changed home as we looked at the Philippian jailer and his family who got saved and changed, and there was a difference made. This morning, we will look at a home that is it's a different kind of a home, but it's a very modern problemed home. You would think that people today would not have the issues that homes would have 2,000 years ago. But can I tell you, they're the same problems. They're the same problems. And so we're going to preach to you this morning. We're preaching for you. We're going to preach to you, but we're preaching for you. Everybody understand that? Everybody understand I'm on your side? Yes. Everybody understand I'm not against nobody? Yes. I'm not against nobody in the church. I'm not against nobody. I'm for this book, though, whether it be me or my wife or my children or anybody else. If it don't line up with the book, it's wrong. Whether it be my family or your family, if it don't line up with the book, it's wrong. All right? So let's look here in Acts chapter 24. Let's start at verse 24. Acts 24. It says, and after certain days, when Phileas came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Now, you say, well, what kind of home is this? Well, this is a convenient home concerning Jesus Christ. That's pretty prevalent today. We have a convenient home concerning Jesus Christ. Think about that. A convenient home. Well, what does convenient mean? Well, it's something that is easy, saves time, and fits within our own plans without trouble or extra work, suiting our own needs. That's what convenient means. Now, everybody, I want everybody to look this way. You don't have a copy of that. You don't have to look at me. I'm going to talk to you this morning. Look this way. Don't look down. Look at me. All right? I want you to listen. Convenient. What is convenient? We're living in a day where we want Christ to be convenient. Christianity, convenient. Church, convenient. Right, convenient. When it's convenient, we do right. Huh? Convenient is something that is easy. You know why we want easy today? Because of laziness. That's why people want it easy today. Because people are lazy. Doless, lazy. That's why they want it convenient. All right? The day is past. The day is past when the husband labors all day and comes home and supper's on the table. The days are past when a man, the Bible says, when he finds a wife, he's supposed to find a good thing. But when he's worked all day and labored all day and sweated all day to make a living, he comes home and there's no supper on the table. Work clothes ain't clean. The house ain't clean.
You're right.
Them days are gone. Yep. If it wasn't for McDonald's and Wendy's, the homes would starve and see Little Caesar's Pizza.
That's exactly right.
The people say, well, I don't like it. Well, I'm just telling you the problems. Because we live in convenient homes.
Right.
We live off Hot Pockets out of the microwave and and them Roman noodles. All right? We can put in a cup of water and We don't know what a home ought to consist of. A husband that works hard and a wife that takes care of her husband and takes care of the children. And the wife ought to take care and make sure that the husband eats first. The children are not to eat first. The husband is to eat first. Because the children are temporary. But the husband is not. So we want to be convenient so we can run and be busy in the world.
Right.
So we can run to and fro. As the Bible says, in the last days that knowledge shall be increased and people will run to and fro. I believe that's what Daniel said. Well, we got a lot of to and froing. They ain't got much knowledge.
Right.
Huh? Convenience. Convenience of children. We want it to be easy. All right? Something that is easy, saves time, fits well with our own plans, without trouble or extra work, suits our own needs. The word is used when it's suitable for personal schedules, reduced effort. And as I was looking up the meaning, it said it was a handy but an insecure reason when we think about convenience. See, the young mothers today is not the problem. It's the middle-aged mothers that's the problem, because they failed to pass it along. It's not the young dads that's the problem today. It's the middle-aged dads that's the problem, because we've not passed things along. See, it was not my generation that let them ratify abortion. I was in school, grade school. It was the generation above me that didn't stand. Is everybody listening?
Yes.
It wasn't me. I'm old. I'm 63 years old. But it wasn't my generation that dropped the ball on killing babies.
Right.
What I want you to understand, it ain't just the people that's little now or just got married. We're talking about this thing that's been handed down, and we've become convenient with the Bible, and we've become convenient with the church, and we've become convenient with Christ, that we just be have an easy life. But our easy life is people going to hell in a handbasket. The older generation, Christ and church was had to be. The next generation become optional. The next generation become convenient. The next generation, well, who's Jesus? That's where we're at today. We're conveniently killing our children. We're conveniently blaspheming God. We're conveniently running things in the ground that ought to be held up high and holy for God Almighty. Convenience. A convenient home concerning Jesus Christ. Let's look here at the scripture just for a moment. In Acts chapter 24, verse 24. First thing I want you to notice is the curiosity. The curiosity of the day. Can I tell you that church is curious to a lot of people? You know, we can get a lot of people to come. I can't even tell you the hundreds of people that have visited our church. You've brought some of them. They was curious. We got people who come just, nobody knows them. They'll just flop in, look around, and then maybe they don't stay. People's curious. People's curious. I've handed out tracts. You ever hand out a tract? I've handed out some, but they threw away immediately. I've handed out some that they stop. We down there last year at the harvest thing. We had the big harvest table set up there at the courthouse. And I'll never forget, they was handing out tracts. People come by, and they handed out one. And I watched the fellow. He took it, and he walked just a few steps, and he stood there. And he didn't care about anybody walking around. He walked, he looked, and he read every word. I don't know, it might have been me and Jen standing there watching him. Maybe somebody was there at the table. We watched him. Might have been me and Rick. Somebody watched him read every word. And what he was, curious. Now, he didn't have nothing to say about it. Shoved it in his back pocket. But the curiosity got him. Well, Felix here was curious. See, Felix, it wasn't his first time hearing the Word of God. It wasn't his first time hearing the Gospel. Paul done stood before him and told him about judgment to come. You read there in chapter 23 when Paul stood before Felix, and the first part of then 24, as he talked with him. And now Felix comes, and he's curious. He said, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, so she wasn't ignorant of the things of God. She was a Jewess. She was a Jew. He sent for Paul. Now look why he sent for him. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning not Paul's faith. He didn't care what Paul said. He wanted to hear about the faith. Is that what it says? I want to hear the truth. And he was curious about what the truth said. See, I believe people still come to church some for curiosity. They want to hear the truth. They want to know. He called for Paul. Now, it goes on and says there in 26 that he undoubtedly went more and heard Paul. It said that he might lose him. Wherefore, he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. It wasn't his own. He was curious. He was curious. But when it come time to get right down to it, no, wasn't convenient. Wasn't convenient. So he was curious. See, you can want to know a lot of things, but see, when you find out something, then you got to make a decision on something. When somebody tells you the truth, then the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart. And you've got to deal with what the Holy Ghost says. You have to. We find it not only the curiosity, but we find it here in verse 25, we find the conviction. It says, and as he reasoned, this is Paul, as he reasoned of righteous temperance and judgment to come. Paul preached to him. What did he preach to him? He preached to him about the right, about Christ, the righteousness. He preached to him how God come from heaven and put on a robe of flesh and died on no rugged cross and was buried and rose again. He preached to him the word of God, the truth of God, how that Jesus is the only way. Hear me today, Jesus Christ is still the only way. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. He preached to him temperance and judgment. Judgment to come. Huh? Things he's going to have to back off from. Huh? Temperance. He's going to have to quit some things. Showed him what was right and showed him what was wrong. Going to have to stop some things. Why? Because there's judgments coming. That's what Felix wanted to hear. He wanted to hear concerning. So Paul didn't say, well, just believe. That ain't what he said. He laid back and preached to him. Told him about Christ. Told him how he is supposed to be number. Listen, they sung about him. Them girls sung about him good this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, I get to walk with the one who walked on the water. I get to live and breathe with the one who made the sea. He lives inside of me. They sung about him this morning. But I'm afraid that's who we're leaving out. Because Jesus ain't convenient. Living for Jesus ain't convenient. It's got to be, it ain't popular. We got to do it on a convenience schedule. Huh? We're conveniently Christians. We're conveniently saved. We're in the right crowd, we're saved. Living at the foot of the cross. We're in a different crowd, we're going to hell just like they are. Huh? We're in the right crowd, we'll watch our mouth and no slang, dirty slang will come out. In the other crowd, it don't hurt to slip a little bit. Huh? In one crowd, will everybody, I love everybody. Next crowd, I hate that so-and-so. All depends on the convenience of how we are. Huh? I believe that's why in Matthew 7, that Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The Bible says it broad is the gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Huh? Is that what it says? There may be reasons for that. Huh? Because convenience. Because of convenience. It says here, verse 25, and is he reason of righteous temperance and judgment to come? Look what happened. Felix trembled. He trembled. He was convicted. He was convicted. The Holy Ghost of God. How do you know the Holy Ghost of God done that? Because the Bible says that when he is come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what he said he would do. I don't have to pray that the Holy Spirit does his work, because that's God and he's faithful. And when the word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit will do his work every time. Hear me. When the word of God is preached and taught, the Holy Ghost of God is bound by his own word to do his work. And he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will remind us of the right ways. He will remind us of the truth. And when he does, it convicts us. And we tremble. We tremble in our heart. I've seen him tremble. I've trembled in my pew. I've trembled in there's a play on words there. I've trembled in my seat, and I've trembled in my stench too. Huh? You ever see sinners tremble? You ever see them shake? I've seen them shake and tremble. I've seen him not be able to stand. I've seen him collapse trying to walk up an aisle. I've watched sons under each arm of their dad as he started out the seat and couldn't walk. And they kind of just carried him. And he drug his feet to the altar and fell down trusting Christ because of the conviction so strong. I've watched them scream and right by hollering, "I don't want to go to hell. Help me, I don't want to go to hell." I've seen him stand in front of hundreds of people on a chair while hundreds of people was laying down on their face praying and getting right with God. I watched a Filipino man stand, "Somebody help me, I need saved." And I watched a preacher run over top of people that was laying down, run over top of their backs to get to him, back from further from here to the back of the church to get to him. Why? Because of conviction. We've then got to the point now, we're not even wrong no more. We won't. Well, it's not me. It's wrong with them. That's where we're at today. Felix understood, man, I'm wrong. Something going on here. And he trembled. I wonder which he trembled at. I wonder if he trembled at the righteousness that was preached. Oh, can I tell you, we ought to all tremble when we look at the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God, how holy, how pure, how wonderful that God is. We ought to all tremble. We don't bounce up and, "Hey man, how's it going, Gee?" No, no, no. It ought to be the humility and the awe of an almighty God, but no more. Amen. Wonder if it was did he tremble to things that was revealed to him and he shouldn't be a doing, he ought to back off from and refrain from. Wonder if that's what bothers him. Does it ever bother you when the word of God exposes what you're doing and you know you ain't got no business of doing it? Does it bother you? Well, maybe it was a judgment to come. Maybe for Felix it was, "Wait a minute. You mean I'm going to go to hell? And I'm going to spend eternity in hell without any hope, without any way out." I wonder if that's what he trembled
I told you about the man. I just told you about him. I was preaching revival down at Miller Baptist across the river from Brother Rick's house years ago. I was preaching on hell, and the man was on the back seat. Here he run up the aisle, screaming, right in the middle of the preaching, and run right, slid right in underneath, right almost underneath the communion table, crying out, "Oh, I don't want to go to hell. Oh, God, save me. I don't want to go to hell." Huh? Are you hearing me? Maybe that's what he trembled at. Maybe it's all of them together. Does the Lord ever have you tremble anymore? Do you ever tremble? You ever tremble at His presence? Huh? Conviction. That's what we see here with Felix. The curiosity, they wanted to hear Him concerning the faith. That's why it's important that we contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. The faith. It's not a faith. But it's the faith, this book, the Word of God, the Gospel. But then I see something else. Not only the curiosity and the conviction, I see the consideration. Verse 25, it says, "And he reasoned of righteous temperance and judgment to come. Felix trembled, and then he answered." Now he's considering it. Now it's decision time. He's considering what he's going to do. It's what you decide every Sunday you come. Every time you go back and watch the video. Every time you listen to another preacher or go to a meeting somewhere. There's always consideration time. Always. Do I do right or not? Do I accept or reject? Can I tell you this morning, you'll do one or the other today. You'll accept the preaching of the Word of God, or you'll reject the preaching of the Word of God. You will not stay neutral this morning. You will not. You cannot. Neutral, you cannot be. For if you don't accept, you automatically reject. Are you hearing me this morning? Felix done some considering. He done some considering. I wonder what Drusilla thought. Said he trembled. I bet she did too. I'm not adding nothing to the Word of God, but I don't figure she looked at him. Although, it could be that way. Years ago, I was holding revival down at Doniger, where Naaman Moore was at. And We had a 2-week revival and seen 21 people get saved during that revival. And, I always say, when Kim and Paul and Zeke sung with them, they all used to sing, they sung Invitation for almost an hour during that revival. One night sung for almost an hour. Just, they sung it till their voices went out and they just had to quit. They couldn't sing no more. People were getting saved and getting right. I'll never forget, there was a man and a woman, young couple, sat back in the old church. They had a hallway, went to the bathrooms, and then they had another section of pews, and that's where they were sitting. And I went back there, and both of them was weeping, and I never go back to talk to nobody, but I felt like that's what I should do. So I went back there, and I talked to her. I said, "Honey," I said, "why don't you, come on, you need to come to the Lord." "No, I ain't doing it." I said, you need to come." "No, I ain't doing it." And I looked at him. I said, "Buddy, won't you come?" "I will if she will." I said, "Let her go to hell, you come on." That's exactly what I said. "You let her go to hell, you come on." He said, "Okay." Well, where he come. But guess who beat us at the altar? The one that said, "I ain't going to do it," she beat him. Huh? I wonder if Drusilla was feeling the same way. See, sometimes we don't do because others won't do. Are you listening to what I'm telling you this morning? I'm trying to help us if we'll listen. Because now we're going to look that not only was a curiosity and conviction and consideration, see, the decision's made now. And now we see the convenience. For he answered and said, "Is go thy way for this time." So when I can fit him in my schedule, I'll get saved. When I can fit him in what all I got planned, when it's convenient for me, I'll listen when it's convenient for me. I don't care what you said. I'm going to wait for when it's convenient. See, that's where we're living today. See, instead of convenience, we ought to be living with commitment. But there's not commitment no more. It's convenience. What does Jesus mean to you this morning? Can you stand this morning? You say you're saved? Can you stand this morning and sing with an honest heart, "Jesus is all the world to me"? Can you? Can you stand and sing this morning, "I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather have Jesus than anything"? Can you? Or, well, it's not today. It ain't convenient today. I've got stuff planned. Can I ask you something? And people will say that I'm hard and that I'm too narrow, and I reckon I ain't got too many more years left. You'll have to put up with me, fire me, or put up with me. But I ain't going to change. Not from what this Bible tells me. Jesus said, "Follow me." That's what he said. Does church interfere with your plan? Does Jesus interfere with your plans? If Jesus interferes with your plans, then you're backwards. You know? That living for Jesus, oh man, I can't do that. I want to do this. I can't. Is that ever in your home? It's in our mind. We don't plan stuff around church. We plan church around stuff. You know why? Because it's a convenience. We'll go to church when it's convenient. I'll go to church when I get time. I'll go to church when I'm not tired. I'll go to church when I'm not busy. I'll go to church when there's nothing else going on. Convenient. Go thy way. Now, you done come and told me, now get out of here. Don't hear no more. Go your way. And when I have a more convenient time, then I'll listen a little bit. Now, I don't know if I'm going to do it, but I'll listen a little bit more.
Right.
Think about it. I could go a lot of places here, and I will offend you. So I'm not going to go there. I wouldn't offend you on purpose. I don't even have to be sarcastic. But if you look at our activities, and we look at Christ, where's our commitment? Where's our commitment? Which one is convenient? You tell me. When it comes to Christ and all of our other activities, which one is convenient, will do, or which one is commitment? Now it's proven whichever comes first. See, convenience this morning is something that's easy. Saves time. Fits within our own plans. Without trouble or extra work. If it ain't no trouble, I'll serve the Lord. I wonder if Joshua would have got by and said, as for me and my house, when it's convenient, we'll serve the Lord. When it's convenient. Now, if I ain't got nothing else to do, listen, Jesus, I know that you left heaven. I know that. I know that you died for my sins, and I sure appreciate it. And I know that when I come to you and believe that you forgive me, and I sure do appreciate it. And when I get time, I'll show you. When I'm all, because you know how busy I am. You know. I mean, you understand. You understand everything. So you know my heart. You know my heart. You know. Are we okay? Now, you know that all these things that I've bought for recreation, it would be a shame for me not to use them. Now, I know that you died for me. I appreciate it. You don't know how much I appreciate it. But I'm going to get old one day and I ain't going to be able to do it. And I ain't going to be able to run. And them other kids, they're going to get ahead of Johnny. And then what's going to happen? You understand, don't you, Lord? I knew you would. Now, when it's convenient, now I'll get back with you. Now, if anything happens to them, you'll be the first one to holler at. Now, if they get sick now, I'll holler at you. I'll let you know I'm here, and I'll know you got it in control. But I got to wait. Right now, it's not convenient. And you can call that smart aleck or sarcasm, but if that ain't the truth, huh? That's the truth. That's the truth. And we think we're going to get by. We think we're going to get by. The curiosity, the conviction, the consideration, and then the convenience. See, convenience puts things in priority. No. We don't need priority. We need commitment. We need commitment. What do we do? Well, as far as we know, Felix and Drusilla went to hell. As far as we know, there's no record of them ever coming to Christ. They went to hell. I don't know what you're going to do. I think the Lord might deserve more than convenience.
Yes.
I wonder. What's that song Matea used to sing? What if I come to him and he told me how'd it go? And he said, I'm through fixing it up and patching it up. No, you're on your own now. I'm not going to do it anymore. What if he said, no, I'm busy. I think I'm going to take a break. You just fend for yourself today. I mean, you already said you knew. So fix it. I'm just going to back out of the way. Because you're really annoying. Would that not be an honest statement if God said that? Would it not be? That would be an honest day if God looked at us and said, man, you're annoying. And it's not convenient for me to even fool with you. But he don't. He remembers that we're but dust. And he don't deal with us according to our iniquities. And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And his mercy does endureth forever. And the blood of Christ still cleanses from sin. Hallelujah to a faithful God. May God help us convenient people who have convenient homes concerning Christ. Father, I've given as simple as you've given me. I pray, O God, as we've heard and we've listened and we've understood, God, I pray that we might change from being convenient people. Our homes are convenient. You can tell in the way our homes are with husband and wife. It's just a convenience. So many of them are just, it's not convenient to be married. It's not convenient to be together. It's not convenient. No, God help us. Kids are inconvenience. Oh, I wish I didn't have. God, forgive the people who say, I wish they never had kids. Oh, God, whether they crippled or whether they're healthy, whether they're smart or dumb, oh, God, forgive any parent that would say, I wish they never had them. God, forgive us for putting you way down the line. Speak as you have already spoke. Draw us to a place of repentance to change us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together right now. Stand together, sing right now.
282.
God spoke to your heart, you ought to act upon it. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. There's no such thing as a more convenient. There's nothing better than the time you have. Let's sing right now. Let's go. A more convenient time. I love you today, God, but it's not convenient. I'm in the wrong place. I love you today, but it's not convenient to what I'm doing. God, help us that we live convenient lives. Easy. Fitting our own plan. To follow him, let him make them. Let him be first place.